Sports with Katie Nolan is presented by Coors Light, the beer made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Is everybody ready?
Ready.
Let me get my notes open to my phone. Okay.
Let me get my notes.
Let's do this.
Hello, sweet tarts, and welcome to Sports. The podcast that ends with a question mark, but starts with a question. I'm Katie Nolan. She's Ashley.
Hi.
He's Dop.
Hey.
And this is today's question.
Hey, Katie, Ashley, and Dop. This is Brad, originally from North Carolina, but currently in New York. Love you guys.
You want to play the right one?
Well, you want to do the other one
first? I mean, we could do this one.
No big deal.
But in the looking at the script, we could do, his name's Josh.
Oh, Josh?
And he's from Houston.
Hey, Katie, Josh from Houston here. If you could compete in the world championship at anything, what is the most random thing that you could place in? The more random, the better. Thanks.
Thanks, Josh. Awesome. Are we leaving in that you played the wrong voicemail?
No,
I think we should.
I don't know.
I feel like we should. I go by the book. The book says Josh Houston. I heard Ryan New York, and I was like, we're going off the rails. I thought it was a surprise.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Congratulations.
Surprise. Dot pushed the wrong button. Okay, so Josh. Josh wants to know if I compete in the world championship of anything, what's the most random thing I could place in? And I'm assuming he doesn't mean sports.
No, they're not random.
What are those? And also, because I think we did that. What were we talking about when we talked about what sport we could play, like, right now and be good at?
Yeah.
We already did that in something.
Yeah.
So I think that he means, like, the world championships of, like, typing.
Ooh.
Which I would not probably place in. I'd be, like, mid-range, but I'm not an expert-level typer.
Okay.
So then you have to start examining what you're good at, which is always fun because it's tough to think of something. Ashley, you suggested Pop a Shot.
Yeah, you're very good at Papa Shot.
Not world championship level. You ever seen those videos of kids that use two hands? Just, I couldn't do that.
What about, like, rhythmic gymnastics, but for, like, 30 and older?
The senior division.
Seniors division.
I would say yes, because I was one of the OGs in America of rhythmic gymnastics, so there aren't many others in their 30s that are that did it.
But then
I remember that I wasn't even the best when I was younger. I mean, I was a couple times at the Junior Olympics, gold medals, no big deal, a couple silvers. That's a lie. I got a couple bronze and a couple gold. Anyway, we're not here to talk about my stat line. Procrastination, I think I could certainly place in the world championships of procrastination.
Oh.
Or, and in a similar vein, and again, not a compliment, I could probably place in the world championships of not sleeping. I'm really remarkably good. And by good, I mean able to not sleep. I don't mean I'm functioning at my 100%.
Okay.
If you listen to next week's voicemails podcast, you'll understand that.
So for, you mean at one stretch, not sleeping for?
Like, let's say hypothetically, up until this podcast, I had gone 40 hours without sleeping.
Wow.
And recorded a podcast and then slept. This one I've slept for, but I can go without sleep. And then the other, if we're talking team sport, that's when I started to go, oh, well, you don't have to do this alone.
Yeah, that's
true. World championships can be team sports.
Mm-hmm.
Trivia.
Yes, you're very good at trivia.
I am a really good trivia teammate. I've got gaps in my knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Hello, geography. World history. I've got instincts when it comes to world history. I'll go, I believe that was the Spanish-American War. And someone who knows history is like, no, it isn't. And then the answers come around. And guess what? The Spanish-American War. Could I tell you what year that was or even who it was between? No.
I bet you could.
I could guess. Sometimes those things are deceptively named. But I will say I have instincts for that, but no real knowledge. But I got random. This brain here full of random shit. So I think my final answer, Josh, is team trivia.
That's a great answer.
Feel good about that?
I feel so good about it.
Thanks, Ashley, who was on my trivia team last week.
Uh-huh.
It's good.
I got like...
You were great.
I got like one or two.
We needed you for that Harry Potter stuff.
Oh, I would crush all Harry Potter trivia.
Harry Potter!
Which is a different category than the books. Harry Potter.
That is gross. If you have questions about Harry Potter or anything really, be sure to leave off a voicemail.
Good start.
Be sure to leave off a voicemail at 860... 506-5571. I'm now going to exclusively say leave us a voicemail because that's very fun. You should try it. Try it, Dop.
Leave us a voicemail.
Right?
Yeah, pretty, that was good.
Leave us a voicemail. It's just like it's like a engine.
That was good.
Let's podcast. 860-506-5571. Save it in your phone. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Ask us a question. Keep it quick. Keep it short. Keep it. Leave us a voicemail. This week on the podcast, guys, we're going to go back to the thing where we each bring a headline. Only three headlines. We're going to run through some of those. And then later we have a guest. You could do the. Yeah. Ashley gets to bring up you, but you get to a point where you're just hitting both
just
hands
mashing
at the same
the
time.
Table.
The point is the alternation. Try it again. Ready? And later on, we're going to be joined by a guest. Nailed that.
That was good.
Wonderful.
Good. Real good.
The guest is a couple of the guys from Super Troopers 2 in theaters April 20th. Finally. When did Super Troopers come out? I think it was like 2001. I've been waiting for this sequel for quite some time. Super Troopers being my favorite movie before I even knew what weed was.
That's your favorite movie?
I mean, I can't now go back on it. So sure. Yep. It's up there. I'm not one of those weirdos with movies that's like, no, my all-time favorite. It changes based on my mood. I loved Super Troopers. Troopers is one of the most rewatchable movies. And every time you watch it, you're like, that's another part I just didn't even notice last time I watched it. Like, it took me about three watches to realize the funniest part is when he's like, move that gigantic cotton candy! You don't even notice that part the first five times you watch it. It's so good. Anyway, we're going to talk to them about that. I'm really excited about it. But first, I'm even more excited. Guys, we got to talk about Hotel Tonight.
Ooh.
And how are we going to talk about that, Ashley? Spin the wheel?
About the wheel. The wheel is currently under construction.
Next week?
So I would like if you could do this read as if you were building the wheel. So you're constructing it physically. So you know your brain's going because you've got to figure out what goes where, but you're physically building it too.
So it's almost as if I have been training for this by playing so much Fortnite.
What?
See, if I say it like that, he doesn't even know. He wasn't even paying attention.
Slipped right past him.
He's playing on his cell phone.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about ad read. I mean, we're going to talk about Hotel Tonight as if I am building the wheel for the, this is very meta. This is very meta. Okay. Am I a man or a woman?
Your choice.
Wow. So the actual part about the character is up to me.
Yeah.
I just have to physically do.
You gotta build it.
Where am I from geographically?
Georgia.
Georgia?
That was quick.
I was thinking she's gonna say New York. Okay, so I'm from
Georgia. Georgia the country or Georgia the state?
Your great, great follow up. Again, geography got a blind spot.
Yep.
I was like, wait, which one is it?
If I said country.
I couldn't do it. In Soviet Georgia, I don't know anything about it. Okay, so Atlanta. Georgia.
Yeah.
Sure. Or yeah. Savannah. More Savannah.
I think Savannah.
And, okay. You make these really hard.
Action.
Hey, y'all. Want to tell y'all about the hotel tonight. While I use this here hammer on this here nail. Hotel Tonight, love it. Great app. It helps me get a hotel. Sorry, sometimes when I'm hammering, I start talking in the rhythm to which I'm it's very difficult to do two things at once, but gotta do it. Gotta get this here well built for a podcast here called Sports. Sports? I don't know any other tools other than thing is here, I gotta get these nails in, and then later I'm gonna do some sawing, but I ain't got time for that. Hotel Tonight is called Hotel Tonight because you can book a hotel literally tonight. It's wild. I'm going to break my cell phone if I keep hitting on the table like that. I need a tool. Dop, help me out. Okay, cool. Thank you. What was I saying? Oh, Hotel Tonight. Yeah, I use that app. I use it sometimes when I need a hotel that night because I'm plumb forgetful. And then sometimes I use it when I need a hotel even up to 100 days in advance because I like to plan things. Speaking of plans, this plan, who wrote this? I don't understand what this wheel. Why are we making it out of wood? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I should sand it to make sure they don't get a splinter. So let's use my sandpaper, Doc. The best thing about Hotel Tonight is, like, it doesn't give you a whole long list of options, you know? It's just a nice, quick, I can choose, and I can move on, because I got other stuff to do, like build other wheels for other obscure podcasts from the darn Northeast. Them damn Yankees always needing them wheels for them podcasts. What accent is this? Is it offensive? I don't think so.
No, you're fine.
Okay, cool. Fine. Also, I kind of love they only work with the hotels they would stay at. Which I think's real nice. Kind of like how this podcast sports I'm making this wheel for, they only take ad reads from companies they use. I think that's pretty sweet. Damn it, I nailed that to the wrong place. I am realizing now I reinvented the wheel, and I did not mean to. I meant to make a regular old wheel, and here I am now with this. Now, that's sticking out like that's not going to work. That's not going to work at all. Anyway, they got a great perks program, so if you use it a lot like I do, staying in lots of hotels, traveling around, delivering all these wheels by hand, because you can't trust nobody to get the job done these days. Want a good job get done, gotta do it yourself.
Got Forrest Gumpy there for a minute.
Mama always said, life is like a box of Hotel Tonight. You never know what you're going to get. Download the app today! I don't know if these are illuminating in a good way or in a terrible way, but I think we're going to burn out the equity with our listeners on the, isn't it funny when Katie has no idea what she's doing? And also, every time I finish one, I'm like, I got to bullet point out those ad reads to make my life easier. Mm. And I don't. I'm just searching through paragraphs while also searching through my brain. I feel strongly about that one.
I think you did.
Thanks for the assist, Doc.
I think you did real good.
I couldn't. My phone has got a big dent in it from
I'm sorry
banging
about
it against.
That.
It's not your fault.
I should have said it earlier, though.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Okay. Headlines.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some news. Only three today. I'm going to go first. Is that okay with everybody?
Yep. Yes.
That'd be okay with you if I go first. The reason I want to go first, NBA playoffs have started, mm-hmm. which means we can now officially analyze and pick who's going to win the first round based on the mascots. Everyone's favorite thing.
You're actually doing pretty well so far with your NHL ones.
Yeah. There's so much happening in the NHL that I want to talk about, but we don't have time to talk about it at another date. Also, someday we'll talk about Liverpool on this podcast. We will get there. I see your tweets, but we got to stick. I'm already going over time every week. We got to stick to the script. I see your face, Doc. Here we go. So we're doing the NBA playoffs based on mascots. First up, Rockets, Timberwolves. Now, the Rockets, this fun fact, they were originally named because they were a San Diego team. Mm. They were named by San Diego fans, and they moved to Houston. But it actually works better in Houston because we don't say, San Diego, we have a problem.
That's true.
We say, Houston, we have a problem. Is that it? Houston,
yep.
We have a problem?
That's it, yeah.
Why didn't it sound right coming out of my mouth?
Because you said it like a question, and it's more of a declarative.
Well, I do that a lot. Check out the name of the podcast. Anyway, I'm not sure that a Timberwolf would ever even encounter a Rocket. But even if it did, I don't think it could do a lot to it. Whereas you could put a Timberwolf inside of a Rocket and then send it into the far reaches of space forever or for a predetermined amount of time. And so Rockets win. Taking the Rockets.
Got to write this down.
I want to be honest with everybody. The actual basketball has zero to do with what I choose. Even when there's like a 50-50 ball and I'm like, I could make this go either way, I actively don't pay attention to the basketball. So the Rockets winning there was that's just the math. I did the math.
Okay.
How's a Timberwolf going to beat a Rocket? Great question. It's not. Thunder Jazz. This one's tough. Because it's a battle of cacophony. They're both loud noises, both spontaneous. And if I do say so myself, they are both audio versions of electricity.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a audio I have a question. How come oral, A-U-R-A-L, and oral sound the same? That has to be the dumbest thing about our language, and there's a lot of dumb things. But remember when you had an oral test in school, and it was like listening, A-U-R-A-L. is like listening to something, whereas oral is speaking it. Those are two words that should sound completely different because they are related.
They're too close to each other to
Way
sound
too close. Yeah, it's like not two words in two different parts of... Anyway, I digress. Also, when I said the word oral, Dop like raised his eyebrows. Like,
that's
yes, I was going to say,
it.
Hey, can I bring something up?
What
oral.
Happened.
Let's talk about it. Like, what did you think I was going to say?
That is not
My God. Museum of Sex, Dop. You brought that to this podcast. So Thunder versus Jazz. One of those is pleasing to the ear. Mm-hmm. The other scares dogs.
Jazz.
No.
No?
Thunder.
Okay.
And I feel like I don't like when you do mean things to dogs. Nobody that does mean things to dogs is a winner in my book. And so I picked the Jazz.
Just real quick, though, isn't it supposed to be like...
In a fight?
Yeah.
Well, so then I thought about that. If there was a thunderstorm during a jazz concert, would it ruin it? If there was a jazz concert during a thunderstorm, would it ruin it? Which has more likely to ruin the other one. Thunder doesn't hurt or do anything. It's not lightning.
Right. It's the sound
so
made
it's,
by
right.
lightning.
So it's hard to do the battle thing because it's like, well, thunder can't strike. It's literally just a sound. Luckily, it paired up against jazz, which is also a sound. So I think a battle would be like which one's louder, mm-hmm. which one has the ability to disrupt the other from existing. Mm. And I think that you could still enjoy jazz if there was a thunderstorm. But if you really loved the sound of thunder,
and
you wouldn't be able to enjoy it if jazz music was playing.
Yep. So, I see what she's doing.
So jazz over thunder.
Yep.
Like I said, the basketball doesn't have much to do with it. I have to go with where the facts take me. Please follow with me on this trail I'm blazing. Trailblazers versus Pelicans. Segway! So a trailblazer is a pioneer. Mm-hmm. Pioneer innovators, we call it in the pioneering business, we call it a pioneer.
Pioneers.
Try to keep up. It's a person who makes a new track through wild country. A pelican is an egregious water bird. That's not what I meant to say. Let's just try that sentence again. A pelican is a gregarious water bird. It is so water birdy. It is egregious. It's not just like a water bird. It's always soaking wet. That it's egregiously watery. It's a gregarious water bird, which means it's social. Note to self, don't put an SAT word in your phone, in your notes, if you're not going to remember what it is or how to say it. Just write, they like to talk to each other. They travel in packs. Have you seen Finding Nemo?
Yes.
Lots of pelicans, right? Aren't they the birds that go, mine, mine?
I think those are seagulls.
So, no, really?
I think so. In Finding Nemo, that being said.
But then one of them swoops down and picks Nemo up in his mouth, does he not?
In Finding Dory?
I did not see that sequel.
Oh.
I'm a strictly Super Troopers 2 sequel. It's the only sequel I'll ever see. I thought they scooped him. I thought they were all pelicans.
Nigel is the pelican.
Oh, that's right.
So there's one specific pelican. The rest of them are seagulls.
Yep.
Right.
This is why I should Google things. That's fine. I still stand by it. They travel in packs, right? So that's kind of intense. Lots of them, lots of birds. But picture a human blazing a trail through a flock of pelicans on a dock. What happens? They all fly away like a little bitch. Trailblazers win. Right?
For sure.
Like,
definitely.
Math.
Yeah.
Addition, subtraction, flying away like a little bitch. So next, Warriors versus Spurs. One is a highly trained soldier. The other is a shoe accessory. I mean, come on. By mascot logic, the only teams in the NBA the Spurs have a chance against are the Mavericks or the Pacers because they could be horses. Maybe the Clippers, because they're sharper. And maybe the Knicks, but not by what they're supposed to mean. Just like a cut. A spur versus a cut. The spur wins. Anyway, Warriors win that matchup. But again, basketball had nothing to do with it there. Okay, Raptors versus Wizards. This is the one I had the hardest time with. Hmm. So I'd like to maybe move it to the bottom. I'm going to come back to that one.
That's allowed.
Which actually isn't true. 76ers Heat, I'm going to need your help with too. But Cavaliers Pacers. The Cavaliers. You know that name? It was a term of abuse for the wealthier royalist supporters of King Charles I and his son, King Charles II of England, during the English Civil War. I just remember that off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a fact I have in there in my brain.
That trivia brain.
I didn't write it on my phone. It's in the brain. So then later, the royalists adopted it themselves. So at first, it was like the mean thing you called the rich dudes. And then they were like, oh, we like that. We're going to be the Cavaliers. Oh. They kind of like owned it. It's also an adjective, cavalier, meaning arrogant or unceremonious. A pacer, I actually love this. I didn't know this. Learning things here in the podcast. The reason that Indianapolis, or like Indiana, named their team the Pacers. So pacers, like someone who sets the pace, like a horse. And they have a rich history with harness racing, where the horses set the pace. And a rich history with the Indy 500.
Oh.
Where there's like a pace car that sets the pace. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And I also really wish they got matched with the Trailblazers, because someone who sets the pace versus someone who blazes the trail would have been an incredible matchup. But when I'm commissioner, I can make it happen in the second round. Maybe. Here's the thing. Pacer versus a cavalier. No matter how fast you go, you can't outrun a rich douchebag. So Cavaliers. Uh, 76ers versus Heat. Ashley, I need your help on this one because you're from Philly.
I am.
So the 76ers, named that way, obviously, because 1776, the year in which the United States was born, mm-hmm. popped right out of the uterus.
English canal.
Of the... Oh, gross. So we get the United States. Like, this is where this gets difficult.
Okay.
A year can't fight a temperature. That's
not really no.
So I'm looking at it as like the beginning of the U.S. versus warmth.
Mm.
I love the United States, for the record, and the troops,
especially
all the things related to the United States and the troops, the good troops.
I was going to say all the troops,
the Blue Jackets.
Okay,
not the what was the other side of the Civil War there, Doc?
The Confederates.
Yeah,
the Confederates.
That's good. He's been learning. So I love the our troops and our world, our country. I hate this. But the best part of the U.S., hot take, not the beginning. Especially for you and I, Ashley.
Uh-huh.
People, other types of people. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the best. The start isn't the best. Things get good when they heat up.
Oh, I wow. see what you're doing.
Once they get the hang of it, once they warm up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you were not from the United States and you were going on vacation to the United States, you wouldn't be, would you want to go, this is where I need your help. Are you going like, let's go where the United States started? Or are you like, let's go where it's warm?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think different people go different places.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yep, that.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
It is.
That complicates things even more because it actually isn't.
No, it's not.
So do we go by that? I think we take the heat.
I think you have to.
I think you have to.
I've decided I don't care. I'm just going to say the heat.
Heat.
Talked about it for too long. Okay, Celtics versus Bucks. Just a disclaimer here. I'm still to this day, maybe I'm alone, confused about Celtic versus Celtic.
Yes.
And why we say Celtic when we say, in every other context, say Celtic.
Mm.
So for the disclaimer for this entirety of the matchup, I'm just going to say Celtic, like the basketball team, and Celt. Okay? So I don't want to hear about it. Don't at me if I'm supposed to be saying Celtic or I don't care. Here we go. So did you know that Celt came from the Greek for secret people? Because nobody knew anything about them.
Ooh.
Mm. Who's always the coolest person in your life? That person that you're like, I don't really know about that guy. I don't know what he's about. He's real quiet and stuff. So keep that in mind. They were tall, perfect for basketball. They're barbarians, great for battle. And all men had the right to bear arms. Sometimes they needed the requirement to bear arms. Mostly swords and shields, but also spears. Fun fact, spears kill bucks.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Also fun fact, the Romans were scared of the Celts because they fought naked. Covered in gold jewelry.
That is so dope.
So Celtics win. Okay, and last one, my marquee matchup, the best matchup of the playoffs in this way, in the mascot playoffs, Raptors versus Wizards. Raptors, a little confusing. If you Google it, they're birds of prey. And then I was like, wait, am I picturing the wrong dinosaur? And I'm not. Mm. It just, they're birds, technically. They turned into, like, birds. They're the predecessor of bird, I think. Here we go.
Raptors. I think Raptors.
Ashley's like, pardon me.
Well, Ashley.
Well, Ashley. Hey! Play a sound effect! Well, Ashley.
I think Raptor is just a word for birds of prey.
So Raptors are scary. I'm moving on.
Okay.
But Raptors are really scary, but they ain't around anymore. So something can definitely beat them.
Mm.
Wizards have tall hats. Not relevant. Just wanted to note that. Felt important. They do magic. Raptors are Raptors? from the Rugrats?
Yeah.
Reptar. Raptors are one of the smarter dinosaurs, I believe, but they're not going to outsmart magic. I mean, they're not people. And even I, noted person, watched a stupid Britain's Got Talent clip for like 8 minutes the other day trying to figure out how this dude did magic with his baby. Talk about later. Can offline that. So it's all going to come down to whether or not the raptor can eat the wizard before the wizard casts his spell. So is this wizard taking a long time to cast his spell? Has he already cast a number of spells that day? Because sometimes you can't. You've got a quota. You're laughing. I'm being serious.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. But in according to Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Which we all play. So let's not fake it. Wizards use arcane magic. Okay. And they're considered less effective in melee combat than other classes. What's a raptor going to do? I keep wanting to say reptar. What's a raptor going to do? Melee combat. So that's why it's complicated. But, and this is the deciding fact for me. I know we all think of Jurassic Park and raptors and how big and scary they are in that movie. But in real life, they were the size of a turkey.
What?
Yep.
So wizards. And that's it, guys. We got, did you keep track?
Of course.
Okay, what do we got?
Rockets over T-Wolves, Jazz over Thunder, Trailblazers over Pelicans, Warriors over Spurs, Cavs over Pacers, Heat over Sixers, Celtics over Bucks, and Wizards over Raptors.
Feels good-ish.
Good-ish.
Feels good-ish.
We'll check in later.
We'll check in with that. Never. Okay, Ash, what's your headline this week? I have a funny feeling. I know what it is.
This one put me on an emotional roller coaster. I would like to talk about how, after 6 years of being together, John Cena and Nikki Bella have ended their relationship.
Was it 6 whole years?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It was real. It was a lot of reality TV seasons of Total Divas and Total Bellas. We got to follow them.
Now, how much of their relationship was them dating, real life dating,
mm-hmm.
and how much of it was them dating, like their characters in WWE were dating?
It was, I'd say probably 85% real life. They just recently started doing like character stuff together. Like at the last WrestleMania 33 when he proposed.
Right.
They don't usually. That they started in their first.
They started their story with a proposal. That's never a good sign.
Yeah.
Never a good sign.
So their relationship didn't fall apart until they became.
Here's where I think it gets confused. Wait, what were you just going to say?
Just until they started working with each other, like their relationship was fine. But then once they became like, you know, we work in the same proximity of each other,
uh-huh.
it just sort of like
so you're
disintegrated.
Saying, don't work with the person
maybe don't
you're
work with your spouse.
To,
huh? Is, sounds like it uh-huh. just
Ash, comment?
Feels like.
Just so everyone at home knows, my husband Steve and I work together very
yeah,
closely.
Very closely.
Very closely.
And so closely, a baby came out.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So closely that they made a child. At work, it was
oh,
really
English
disgusting.
Channel. I said canal. I should have said English Channel. I messed up that joke.
I
that
would have
been
callback
so
right
funny
now
if
it.
I got it right.
Oh wow, where did that? That's where your brain. That means the whole time your brain was there.
It was. I was like, that wasn't right. What did I mess up?
Let me ask you this: where I get confused is because they have. So there's wrestlers that are real people, humans that live in the world. Then they have like you know. It's extra confusing because John Cena's name is John Cena in the ring and out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's use The Rock as just to paint where I'm going. So there's Dwayne Johnson.
Yep.
Then there's The Rock. So he's got two existences. There can be Dwayne Johnson who's dating name a human woman. Megan Fox. Cool. But then there's The Rock, who is married to, in the ring, name a wrestler, female wrestler.
Asuka.
Asuka. Okay, we'll talk about it later. So, like, that's, they're not really married in real life, but they're married, I'm doing air quotes, mm-hmm. in the ring. Then they added this layer of Total Divas. Mm-hmm. Is that the E! Show? Mm-hmm. Which is a reality show about the lives of wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And what confused me there was, like, we're not supposed to know about the lives of wrestlers because we're supposed to think the wrestlers in the ring and the storylines in there are their lives. So it was always weird to me, again, a non-WWE fan, that they would make a reality show about a thing that is based on not being real. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. However, in the ring and their characters, they don't usually have people be married unless they're actually married. It's like they're together,
really?
Or whatever. Yeah, but they don't block, like, they play up marriage storylines when they're real. So if people are married in real life, they'll bring it in.
But there was a story where, and I'm not going to know their names, and I'm putting you on the spot, but there was somebody was they were married, they got divorced in real life, and they were still married in the ring. And it was like, tough.
That's awkward.
Or it's backwards. Or they were divorced in the ring, but they were still married in real life, which would be less awkward. I just feel like there are separate storylines in the ring and in real life. And when they made that Total Divas, that's why everybody knew that John Cena and Nikki Bella were dating, because they were on that show together. Mm-hmm. But you're saying they weren't doing anything in the ring until that WrestleMania where he proposed.
They may have referenced it like it was people knew that they were dating, but they weren't like actively wrestling together. And they did like a couple like – no one cares.
I'm going to work through this on my own time. I'm taking up your amazing news story because I'm very confused. I will Google this on my own, and I will now let you talk about the story and your feelings about it.
So I actually think that this is an amazing news story.
Which you turned on.
I did.
You were sad at first.
I was really sad about it. But I think what changed my mind is the fact that Nikki decided she wasn't going to settle. Like, she really...
Damn, John Cena's settling now.
No, so John Cena, like, laid down the law at the beginning and was like, I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. That's non-negotiable.
Why'd he propose?
Because he wanted to make her happy, but I guess leading up to their wedding, which was supposed to be May 5th. So it was like...
Damn, that's
close.
Him. Yeah.
It was like he was doing her a favor.
Cinco de Mayo.
Because she has Mexican heritage.
Oh, okay.
So it was going to be in Mexico.
Nice. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was going to be great. It was going to be great. So I'm excited now because she's like, you know what? You're not doing me a favor. I don't need a pity husband. I don't need a pity proposal. I'm great. I'm awesome. I'm going to do my own thing. Deuces.
Huh.
So I'm kind of pumped about it.
Yeah. Also, when I met John Cena, a story I've now told 75 times on this podcast, and I'm not sure why I keep going back to it, but I was so struck by like, damn, you're fucking busy.
Yeah.
Every minute of your day is planned. You mm-hmm. have to schedule out, I'm going to have 30 minutes to pee. Wait.
What?
Well, it sometimes gets harder as you get older and you take certain products.
He's only 40.
It doesn't matter. You know, he's so busy that I was like, how the f*** do you? I even asked him, like, how do you have time for a girlfriend? Mm-hmm. How do you have time for, because Nikki was there at the event sitting in the front row. I'm like, how do you have time for that? I feel guilty when I'm like, I don't have time for a boyfriend sometimes. Like that, he definitely doesn't. So I get that. Like
he said he doesn't start his day with Nicole until he's done with work. So like 5 or 6 or 7 p.m.
That's wild.
They get dinner together, and that's assuming she's there where
right.
he
they
is
may
and
be
not
traveling
doing her own
and
thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a shell of a relationship.
So our takeaway is like good for them.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll be supportive of them moving forward or just of her. Whose team are we on now?
I'm on Team Nikki, personally. You okay. guys can make your own choices.
No, I'm going to dive in on it on my own time.
I just want to say I have a hard time knowing that he was at least – the one thing I want to say, he was upfront about where he was at.
Yep.
And it took 6 years for her to be able to decide
six
that that's
years.
Not what she wanted.
Yeah.
So
– Hey, but you can't rush people to figure things out.
Totally. I'm just saying John Cena's not a bad guy because he
no,
was like
no.
very transparent
I
with –
I don't think anyone's
know.
Saying that.
Yeah. No, they still love
him. I met him one time.
Other.
Did I tell you
oh,
about
you
that?
Oh, did you really? No
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Tell me
John
about that.
John Cena like, from the WWE.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. I'll tell you about it on another time okay. on the next podcast. Dop, what's your news?
Des Bryant.
Sorry, Ashley, were you done?
Oh.
I didn't know if you were done, and I just realized I tossed it over to Dop.
I was done.
I don't even – he doesn't ever have to speak.
I want to talk about Des
did
Bryant.
Did you want – okay, go ahead, Dop. Sorry.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about Des Bryant.
I heard.
Okay. Dez Bryant was cut by the Dallas Cowboys.
He was?
Yes.
Imagine if I was like, wait, what? That would be funny.
So here's my take, because there's a lot of things
wait,
about
who?
This.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Dom. Go ahead.
No, I can wait.
No, I'm done. What? Sorry. So here's your thing. Give us facts.
Dez Bryant's not a good wide receiver anymore.
Whoa!
He's just not. And okay. I want to know if you guys think that he is, because I think, personally, I believe that Dez Bryant has that name value that people continue to think that he's this, like, superstar wide receiver, when statistically, over the last 3 years, he has been anything but that.
It is maybe one of the downsides of fantasy football, right? That, like, after a while, certain names, you're like, well, of course they're going to go earlier in the draft. They're Dez Bryant. They're Demaryius Thomas. And then when you actually dive in on, like, recent numbers, you're like, oh, huh. So, like, Dez Bryant's always going to – you're right. There is, like, a – he has a – it's – what do they always say? It's, like, based on his history. Like, it's based on – I'm trying to think of when things get seeded for stuff or when people win awards. So, like, that's a legacy award or whatever. It's based on, like, what they're known for more than what they've done. But, like, stat-wise, I mean, I'm not – you know me. I'm never going to rattle off stats. Like, I remember this last season or maybe the one before – he was like, couldn't be found.
Yeah.
Didn't he like kind of come back at the end of last year?
A little bit.
He was pretty good.
I mean, so here's the thing. In the last 3 years, he has yet to reach, like he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season in each of the last three seasons. He hasn't had more than 69 catches in any of the last three years. So like he's just.
Right, but it's a different system. Now.
It's also a different quarterback.
Well,
yeah, a lot better.
Yeah, they
no offense
things.
To me.
No
offense to Tony Romo. But like he
are
went
you
from
Tony
a,
Romo? I'm very confused.
He went from a Tony Romo system to a
right.
Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott is better than Tony Romo.
I think I disagree with you, and here's why. I read a stat that when he was with Tony Romo between 2012 and 2014, 70% of the passes thrown to him were considered catchable.
Yeah.
From 15 to 17, that number dropped to 59.6% of the passes were even catchable. I wrote this down because I was so fired up about it.
I'm so proud of
you. That's the second worst.
That's terrible. And so
in the league.
One caveat with that is in 2015, he had Brandon Whedon throwing him the football for a long time.
Noted future Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Brandon Whedon.
Because Dak came in for 2016 and 2017. So, but that being said, I think Tony Romo had eyes for two people, and that was Jason Witten and Dez Bryant. And I think Dak Prescott is a... let me look
spread
through my routes
around.
And I'm going to go to whoever's going to be open.
Right.
Which I think is a better system for football, generally.
Sure. But for, in terms
but we're
of
we're not talking about football.
Dak
we're talking
his
about
productivity.
Dez, yeah.
Okay.
You mean Dez in his productivity. He's not old. He's 29. It's not like his skill skets just dropped. Like
he's still holding on to his skill sets.
He's holding on to those skill sets.
Yeah.
If he just matches up with another quarterback that he vibes better with, I think he could still be a number
okay.
one receiver. For sure.
Who's he going to vibe with?
I don't know, maybe Joe Flacco.
I can't wait for him to go to the Patriots. I'm so excited.
Oh, gross.
Last thing I want to say, and then we can move on because I know nobody cares about Dez Bryant. I understand what you're saying about him not having a good quarterback, but DeAndre Hopkins has had just garbage.
Okay, he is the exception that proves the rule, I think. DeAndre Hopkins has been one of the most productive
incredible.
Receivers with throwing him the ball. And I think you think about it, every fantasy draft, you're like, yeah, I want to take Hopkins, but that quarterback situation. And then every year he's like, doesn't matter. I will catch every single guy. He's so good. That poor thing. So 29 as a wide receiver isn't old, right?
I mean, you're getting there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but it's not like running backs where you drop off at 30.
It's not.
It knocked my head into my mic. Did you hear it? I'm really sorry. I was exasperated. So you think he's done for?
I think that he is.
We do this so
overrated.
Much now when somebody gets cut. It's so weird how quick we are to be like, nope, don't care where he goes. He's done. And the narrative from the media almost becomes the truth, and I don't like it.
I'm not saying he's done. I think there are other wide receivers in the league that are better than Dez Bryant. I think a lot of who Dez is right now is just based on name value for what he's done in the past.
Sure.
That's it.
Do you think he can be a number one receiver in the league?
I think he will be a number one wide receiver on a team, potentially, but I doubt that he will go to a team that needs a true number one. I think he's going to go to a team that has a better chance at winning a championship now that he gets to decide where he wants to go.
Like the Eagles.
I think the Eagles are, I mean, I don't think they're going to pursue him, but.
Yeah, I was just joking about the Patriots, by the way. I don't think I want Dez.
I don't think he wants to play for a team that doesn't have a number one wide receiver, because that team probably isn't very good if that's the case.
Mm, that's interesting.
Mm. Hey, speaking of, I just want to say thank you for not having the story that you bring be that Tom Brady has not yet officially said if he's going to play next year, because it's just the thing I keep seeing on these TVs in front of me as we sit here doing this podcast. And I love that because we do this once a week, we don't have to do the what are we going to talk about today. Well, technically, Tom Brady hasn't said officially yet that he's definitely going to play next year. And then the sub headline is like, although reports say it's likely he will, reports are also saying it is possible that maybe he doesn't. That is not a story. And thank you
for
not making me talk about the fact that my quarterback is not yet officially, definitely said explicitly, he's on a camel, okay? He's busy. His camel gets bad reception, and he can't get through to whoever he's supposed to call to say, hi, yes, sign me up for next year. I'm coming.
Can you imagine how dirty that would be to Robert Kraft? He makes him trade Jimmy Garoppolo and then doesn't come back the following year?
You still believe that?
I do, yeah. I'm one of those people.
You think Tom Brady made Robert Kraft trade Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, he doesn't have the ability to make him. I think he probably wrote a very strongly worded letter or voicemail or text message. I think Tom Brady has some say in what goes on.
I don't think Tom Brady texts much.
Not anymore. Sorry.
I know where the line is, Katie. No. I know where the line
is. First of all, no, you don't. Second of all, that pause there, what that pause means is that was a good fucking joke, and I'm mad at you because I'm not laughing at it. You made a joke I can't laugh at on my own podcast, though it was very funny. I also still hate you for it. Okay, that's it for the news. We did it in under an hour.
That's amazing.
Maybe. Next up, we're going to talk to Paul, Eric, and Steve from Super Troopers and the upcoming, obviously, Super Troopers sequel. Like I said before, very, very excited. But first, we're going to do this again. Today's podcast is also brought to you by SeatGeek, and I'd like to tell you about that. How am I going to tell the people about SeatGeek? Daniel Dopp.
Okay, Katie, so I would like you to be a principal giving the morning announcements to your students at a high school.
Attention, please. Today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift for a certain principal whose birthday may be next week, SeatGeek finds you the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team, musician, or whatever in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Please note, you should not be using SeatGeek during school hours. We will find out, and you will be punished. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever, which is also our theme for this year's prom. Easier than ever. We were accepting submissions until last week, and we only received one. And so that is what we'll be going with. If you have any additional ideas on how to bring that vision to life, please talk to Sarah.
It's always Sarah.
We only have one here at this school. SeatGeek can help save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. While I have you, I'd like to remind you that throwing food in the cafeteria is frowned upon for the 15th time this year. And if I see you doing it again, we will be canceling Easier Than Ever Prom 2018. I mean it this time. Best of all, my students get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Nolan today. That's promo code Nolan for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Have a great day and go Flyers. That was fine. It was fine.
I liked it. I liked it.
Halfway
especially.
Through, I'm like, what I should do is take what you tell me I have to do the ad read as. Take a minute. Come up with some things principals say, and then toss them in. Your phone's ringing, Dop.
That's not my phone. That's a phone here in a studio that I don't have access to.
Oh, I should toss them into the script. I don't do that. But that's fine.
I think it's funny.
I felt okay with it. I felt okay with it. All right, it's time to talk to Paul, Eric, and Steve from Super Troopers 2. You guys, this is, I love this movie. I'm going to ask them so many questions. I want to know what their favorite quote from the movie was. I want to find out quotes from the new movie because we're going to quote it. It's the most quotable movie, like, ever. So here it is. Paul, Eric, and Steve from Super Troopers 2. So you guys walked in the door and you said, are we going to talk about sports? And I was like, I didn't think you would want to, but then you said you did. So what do you want to talk about?
Yankees, Red Sox.
Why? Where are you from?
He's from New York and you're from Boston, so I want to hear the back and forth.
That has nothing to do with you.
That's exactly. I could be the judge.
He's a poop instigator.
You're a rabble rouser.
Yeah.
He is. He's rousing some rabble right now.
So you're from New York.
I'm from New York City, the Big Apple, born right here on Manhattan Island, Beth Israel Hospital.
Yep.
Grew up on the mean streets of the Upper East Side.
Yeah, the mean
streets. That's where I learned to fight.
How old were you when you first took the subway?
By myself, or yeah. I mean, because
two.
I mean, yeah,
right. Didn't they just put you, take you home from the hospital and put you alone on the subway?
Well, I'm trying to remember if I curbed the doctor first and then took the subway.
You shibbed the doctor.
Quick
That's
shiv.
What it was. That's yeah. what it was. God, it's curbed so long the door, man.
So you're a Yankees fan.
I am a Yankees fan and a New York Rangers fan.
Okay.
And tell them the next part because this is where it gets weird.
I am a Giants and a Jets fan.
What?
That's not how that works.
I'm going to explain it how it works. Is that when I was a child, I'm quite a few years old.
You work at MetLife Stadium?
Yeah.
That's
my
only
father
way you
was
can
the
be both.
Groundskeeper there. It's like pre-satellite TV, all that stuff. So we just had local football games,
right.
And we had the Giants and the Jets. And it's not like we were going to stop watching football. And you know when the Giants were done, so like we'd watch the Jets, and they were like the adorable, like the baby brother. They were like the JV team for New York.
That makes perfect sense.
He's
actually,
Joe Namath.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they got good. I mean, we had the sack exchange and all that stuff way back when.
Yeah.
But then like you know the tuna came and we all got excited, and they tested Verdi and they were like. You know, favored to win the Super Bowl in that one season, and then Vinny Testaverde. But so, like, you know, we just watched both.
So you like them both?
I like them both.
But if you had to pick one?
The Giants.
Okay.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, the Giants are a properly run football organization, as the Canadians would say, as opposed to the Jets.
What?
The Jets are not.
You've been following the New York football Giants?
No, what's going on? No, I've been on the road for the last 5 weeks. I don't know what's going on in the world.
And who's your basketball team?
I traded. I'm Miami Heat. My wife's from Miami. She agreed to root for the Yankees and the Rangers if I would agree to root for the Heat.
And was this when they had LeBron?
This is before LeBron.
Okay. I was going to say, an easy trade. But.
So that's like getting a good dowry when you marry.
Exactly.
You married into
They still doing those? I did
team.
Not know.
Yeah.
Huh.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Back in the old country.
Yeah.
Goat.
All right, so we can. That's it for you, sports. I don't want to talk to a Giants Yankees fan. I have no interest in that.
You know, I'll tell you this. I have equal to less interest talking to a Boston fan.
Yeah, so we'll skip it.
We seem to have reached an impasse.
Where are you from?
Well, my dad's in the Air Force, so we lived in a lot of places. So yeah, but mostly my junior high school years were in Denver. So I moved to Denver in 1983, which is the year that John Elway moved to Denver to quarterback the Denver Broncos. And that was the first time I had a pro football team. So Broncos were my big team. And then I moved here, became a Mets fan. So yeah, those are my teams really.
Can I just say one thing? I'm not a Mets fan. No, this is for you. This is, and for
but
you.
But what
too.
About before satellite TV when you just wanted to watch baseball?
There's 162 of those. that was fine. And, but in 1986, I did root for the Mets against the Boston Red Sox.
I wasn't born yet. So.
Okay. They're saying the entire city was
no, I just
galvanized.
Read a book on that 86 Mets team. Yeah. The Bad Guys Won. It's a good book.
It's called The Bad Guys One?
It is, yeah. Because they were a bunch of assholes.
They were bad boys.
Can I say that?
Yes,
okay.
You can say that.
They were
assholes,
top to bottom.
I just actually watched, I think it's a 30 for 30 of Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry.
Very good.
Which
brand.
Is awesome. You'd love
they're
it.
They're all awesome, aren't they?
They are awesome.
Right, if you had to say your favorite one, you couldn't. Because they're all so good.
There are a couple, like Two Escobars. The Two Escobars is phenomenal.
Yeah. But they're all just so good here at ESPN.
They are great.
Great.
30 for 30.
They're great.
What's your story? Where does your fandom lie?
Hi, this is Eric. I am from Minnesota, so...
Do a lower voice, please.
Hello, this is Eric. And my teams are from Minnesota.
When we went to college together, he had a radio show, and that was his DJ voice.
Did you really? Because you do have a DJ voice.
I did. It was Eric's workforce. Don't touch that knob because you don't know where it's been.
Gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good, catchy little tagline.
Don't touch
though.
That knob. I like that.
Yeah, so you guys all went to Colgate.
Yeah.
We did.
And that's and you've been friends this whole time?
Yeah, we're coming up on our 30-year anniversary, I think.
How the hell
crazy, huh?
Does that work?
You know, I honestly, I think, like, you know, the creative process can be a little damaging to the friendships because you do have a lot of disagreements and you get into arguments. But then on the flip side, like, we have been through so much with each other. Like, I can only commiserate with the other four guys, with these guys. Like, we know exactly what we've been through, and we've had dark times as well as like some really sweet moments, which, like, right now with the movie coming out. So, like, it's, you know, we've bonded.
I don't know. I have one friend from college I'm still friends with. So this is very impressive.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together. We've all lived together. We've
worked together,
loved together, laughed together,
played so together.
That's very sweet.
I have a friend question. As who?
How do you make friends?
Think of, mainly you like don't how lead do with I Boston. Get them and what do I do with them?
I'm so sad. I was really looking forward to meeting you, and then it's like the whole Boston thing. Like
I love
it's tainted.
It.
Forget
I love it.
Let's forget
just
it.
Pretend that's it's not. Let's go back to the beginning.
Erase
where I said
it.
This
it's
is my
make
favorite
you guys
movie.
Katie, do you know what team you and I root for is Team Earth?
What, like the Earth?
Yeah, we're both from the planet Earth.
Yeah,
that's the team
that's the world we're in. The same team against the aliens. How do you decide in a group of friends when you're making a movie, let's say Super Troopers, who is going to be the Farva? Because that's got to be a tough conversation where you're like, we're all going to be the cool ones and you're going to be the asshole.
Easy. Well, I mean, you haven't met Kevin in real life. Yeah. It's actually not that much
of a
stretch.
Yes, yeah, I assumed, but I didn't want to say that of your friend.
No, I mean,
if it wasn't
we tried to do this thing where, like with all films, we try not to assign those roles for a long time to avoid, like, okay, just even subconsciously writing for yourself as opposed to just writing for the team. And so we would then do table reads and have and change parts and give everybody a chance. And, you know, Eric read for Farva once. I think, Steve, you were on deck.
I was on deck.
Farva,
I was reading after.
And then Kevin read it. And it was like on page three, we're like, all right, that settles that. That's just... That's Farva.
Yeah, after he was done, I was like,
"Isn't Farva?
You want to go, Steve?" I was like, "Nah,
nice.
Nah, it's pretty clear."
But the problem is, he will if you talk to him, he will claim he couldn't be farther from Farva, and it's just not true.
I've seen him in interviews where I'm like, he seems really sweet. He doesn't seem a lot like Farva, but he plays the part well.
He wants to be. Even Farva probably could be sweet if he wanted to make a nice impression. Mm. But just when kind of you catch him unawares. We were at an airport and leaving Denver, and he had gone and grabbed a ham sandwich. We didn't have time to eat. And so we're at the gate and they're getting ready to board, and he got called to the gate because some people wanted to switch seats because they wanted to be together, and he was the guy that they needed to move. And we're just watching from a distance, and he's kind of getting into it with the gate agent, and he's got this ham sandwich in his hand, and he's like jabbing at them. He's got video.
Oh, stop
he's
it.
Gesturing and he's using the ham sandwich as like a prop, and it's like flopping around, and he's jabbing people in, like in the stomach as he's talking with his ham sandwich. We're like, you can't tell me that's not Farva.
Right.
That is such a Farva thing to do. So, you know.
He's a bit of an anomaly because the truth is, you may not believe this, but he's a lawyer. And he's passed the bar in two states, in New York and Connecticut.
Law right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's like, he is a smart guy, but, and very dignified person. His father's a judge. Like he's dignified, and yet, like.
He's not dignified. His pants fall down whenever he gets in out of the car.
He's got no ass. We see his ass all day, every
hourly.
Day.
Why?
Because he doesn't have a butt. And that's the weird thing.
Just the legs meet, and then the torso starts.
He is a potato on toothpicks. Mm. So if the pants slide at all, then you are treated to the full northern half of his full ass.
And he's fine with it.
Well, I think he doesn't know what else to do. Yeah, he could wear suspenders, I suppose.
He should wear suspenders.
He's also got a tall crack anyway. So
a tall crack.
Yeah, like if you... If you look at it, you can actually see, like, even where the crease stops, there's still a seam that goes of smoother skin that goes up his
like
back.
Like, it thought about,
that's
like, where it used to be. Like, erosion has taken it away, but it was once there.
Or, like, where his prehensile tail was, and maybe he had it removed.
Exactly.
When he was younger.
Exactly.
But now that you talk about Farva being a lawyer, have we not pitched, like, it would be a good legal, like, a good legal procedural hour long as Farva... As a lawyer.
Farva Esquire.
Yeah,
I'd watch
Farva
that.
Esquire. I'd watch the hell out of that show.
Great TV show.
Let's talk about the new movie.
But before we do, you can see Farva's backle
in Super Troopers.
Oh.
As he's walking away after the powdered sugar scene, it's full shot.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Or just like, we couldn't reshoot it enough times to get rid of it, right. So we'll just leave it in the movie?
It's true. I think audiences are still so stunned that they saw his full frontal, that, but when he flips around,
thanks for that.
It almost has no... we only have Jay to thank, and it's one of the brilliant things Jay has done as a director.
Well, no, but you know, that was an accident. That shot was an accident, and then the fight happened in the editing room. Kevin was like, nobody wants to see Favre's dick, and we were all like, no, everybody wants to see Favre's dick.
And it's a matter of want or need. It's like, they may not want to, but we need them to.
Well, see,
we
need to see the dick. And this goes to like how Kevin Heffernan is like Rod Favre, is because, like, you know, that is the dick that Favre should have.
100%.
The tuna can is wider than it is long.
Yep.
Button on the fur coat. You know. Yeah.
God, what a visual.
The tuna can. Yeah.
Yeah.
A tuna can.
That's what he should have.
Did you know you're going to get into this?
To it as well. I did not.
ESPN doesn't condone this kind of conversation, do they?
They don't condone most of my content, but that's why they need it. So it's good.
Programming.
Yeah, we should keep going.
You're edgy.
This way.
You're their edgy.
That's it. Like they like to lead with that. Yeah. And I'm like,
that's why they got you from Fox Sports.
That's
They're like,
right.
We need some edge.
Need some sharp edge and wit.
Katie Nolan.
And a woman to fill a quota.
Yeah.
New movie. Super Troopers 2.
Oh, right,
great
right,
name.
Yeah,
great name. Is there a subtitle? I don't know. I should know that.
No. Super Troopers 2.
We have the subtitle ready for the third one because Jay wants it to be Super Troopers 3 Winter Soldiers, which is dumb because he thinks it would be funny if we shot in the snow and
it would look cool.
We don't want to do that.
That's not going to happen.
It'd be cold.
We can still call it Winter Soldiers, though.
I guess you can call it anything. Yeah.
What if we went to South America and winter there is summer?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's next level thinking. Right. Is this going to be one of those situations where you're talking about the third one and then I'm going to have to wait 20 more years for that to happen? Or is it coming out like sooner? What's happening?
It all comes down to this weekend. Yeah. You know, it's weird.
Does it though? Because you guys crowdfunded this movie.
Yeah.
And it sort of got me thinking of how interesting that is because that obviously never happened in the past. It's a thing that can happen now. And it was one of the most successful crowdfunded campaigns in the history of crowdfunding. Very long history.
Yes, a long story.
But it proves that, like, opening weekends used to be to show that people wanted to give money to see a movie. Mm-hmm. You guys already got a lot of money from a lot of people that showed they want to see the movie. So is there a little bit, like, less pressure on you for this to have a big opening weekend because you got the money?
Even with the crowdfunding, it still took so long and was such a process that... I don't know. We're on the fence about whether we'd want to go back to that. Because also it still does feel weird at the end of the day to be like, all right, folks, open up your pockets.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we meet people on the street. You're like, yeah, I missed a car payment. So, and you're like,
oh man, don't
do that. So it's touching, but it's also like, it's just so much. It's just, you know, when the studio writes you a check, then it's like, boom, bang, we got the money, we go and everything moves quicker. So if you have a big weekend, then it's just like we joke about Super Troopers 3, but like we could be shooting something in a year from now, whether it's that or whether it's a Beer Fest sequel or something else. You know, we would just like to be able to make movies like every year or two, and that helps.
Although, you know, you speak to these people because we have these, like tonight we have a screening and it's for the Indiegogo backers. You know, we see them on the street. We've done, I think, like 17 screenings over the last 4 weeks and we've met all these people or a lot of them. And, you know, the sense you get is that they're really happy to do it. And, like, I mean, they are the reason why the movie get made and they're a part of it. And it's cool for them. They're like, we did this together. Like, we did do it. And it's true. They did do it. And a lot of them are like, we'd do it again in a heartbeat. Like, we're psyched to do it. So it's, you know, we've had conversations where it's like, should we keep doing this kind of thing? You know, I mean, it's exhausting though. I think that's, it takes a toll.
It's cool though that you guys have such a dedicated fan base.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait till you guys pay me back once the movie starts to profit and you send me a check for this check I sent you guys.
Well,
that's now
how it will work now if you crowdfund a film, you become an investor. So you actually get that participation.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, that's apparently now how
like
they're doing
it. After you guys. That will be how it is going forward.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Exciting.
And when we were doing it, it didn't exist.
But that's the way it should be. If somebody's going
to
give you $100
to something, then they produce it, technically.
Right.
Kind of. So the movie itself. It's been 17 years since the last one. So has it been 17 years for the characters in the movie? Are we picking up right where we left off? Are you still the rookie?
Like, still the rookie.
Where are we at? What's the plot? Where are we going with it?
We're a little vague on where the time has gone, but we are picking up pretty much a couple years later, handful of years later,
handful of years later.
And the plot of the movie is actually a true thing that we saw on I think it was NPR.
You're so smart.
Cultured. You hear that? I like to throw that out in every interview.
On NPR.
I was doing the New York Times crossword puzzle, and I heard this thing on NPR that really intrigued me.
Oh, you still do New York Times crossword puzzle? I do the...
I was at the Mensa Club up on Union Square.
Yeah.
So it's Canada and the U.S. have done a border reassessment, and it turns out that Canada owes the United States a couple miles of land right on the border of Vermont.
Markers weren't quite where they thought, which is a real thing that happened. The margin was very small, but we thought, let's make that margin big enough to have a town in there that is going to be required to transition to being American.
A group of Canadians, and then who better? What better bunch of guys to patrol that area than us?
Right.
And basically we become an occupying force. We're there to acclimate them into being Americans, and they don't like us very much.
Perfect group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That perfectly represent.
Right. Vermont's finest.
All of America.
America's
you guys hit
finest.
All the different aspects.
Yes. And then you know what else, Katie?
What?
We discover a crime.
No.
There's crime happening.
Real
no.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did things get sticky?
Is it
a real sticky situation?
It's a sticky situation.
Get a little hairy. Why are all the words to describe crime situations?
Sticky.
Really gross hairy. Adjectives. Sticky, hairy.
I can't
hairy.
Think of anything else. Sticky and hairy. What else is there?
A real
interesting?
No. Yeah.
That's not fun.
Mm-hmm. You're right. My bit disintegrates after two adjectives. Still was a good bit.
It's a great
while
bit.
While it lived. Ursula, you still with Ursula?
Yeah, she makes an appearance.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. We wanted to bring everybody back from the first one, but then it was like, how do you make a new movie then?
Right.
You know, people be like, you got to have the College Stoners again. Oh, you got to have Gaffigan again doing the meow scene. You got to have the German swingers. So we just kind of had to try to be sort of surgical about, like, how much do we kind of bring back?
Because you don't want to remake the same movie.
No, because you see, that's all what we don't like when we see sequels, you know? You're like, wait a minute, you made that joke.
Right.
And so everything... We wanted to just then not use it a ton, and whenever we would do that, there would be some twist on it or some kind of build off of, you know, the reference to the first movie.
We also wanted something that you didn't necessarily have to have seen the first one to enjoy.
But why wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, it certainly helps if you've seen it. But
go
like,
see it. Just see it.
Yeah,
I'm just
letting
people know
you
have to be an idiot to not have seen the original Super Troopers.
Thank you.
That means you've passed up like 25 opportunities to do so, especially if you've ever been in a dorm room. There's at this point, even if you didn't want to see it, you should have seen it.
You should have.
Well, what Fox is doing, which is super cool, is on in half the theaters, so like 1,000 theaters, Thursday and Friday, they're playing a double feature. So you can go.
Oh, that's neat.
And for just like a few dollars more, you get to watch the first one and the second one. At 4:20 p.m.
Yeah.
What is that? Have to do with anything?
It's just the time that the first one starts.
You're just letting people
feature.
Know in case they want to be there on time. It's at 4:20.
At 4:20.
Right. It's weird. Normally it would just be like an even hour, like 4 o'clock.
Right.
But we did a thing with...
She's that time.
That's I don't know.
You know Doug Benson, the comedian? So he had us over last week. And we watched the first one with an audience. And you forget, because most people didn't see it that way. Most people saw it at home. It's really fun to watch with, you know, a whole theater full of people. I hadn't done that since the movie came out. And I think it's actually a cool idea to go sit with the crowd, see the first one, and then roll right into the second one.
It really does also remind you about how unpleasant that powdered sugar scene is.
Yeah. Sure. When you see on the big screen, there's like flakes of powdered sugar dangling from Farva's neck, Joe, and
it's all I can ever see.
And then his walk
away. You can't
away.
Unsee it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the junk.
And the,
the tuna
that.
Can.
Of course,
and
then, he had to say it again.
And then the crack.
He had to say it again. I don't know if this is because of where I encountered Super Troopers in my life, but it was one of the first movies that for me was the most quotable movie ever. Like all of my friends, my generation, that was the first movie that we still go back to and quote, which you guys must either love or be super sick of, and I'm interested to know which.
I think we love it because we're the writers of it.
Yeah.
If we weren't the writers of it, it wouldn't be as cool, but we didn't know when we wrote it that they'd be quotable, so it's flattering.
So when you write Is it mostly written or is it ad-libbed? What's the process for that?
It's almost all scripted.
Yeah. So yeah, when you write like a damn liter of cola, you're not like, that's right. It. That one's going to be the one everybody says all the time.
No, you don't. No. I mean, you can guess, but you're almost always wrong. And that's been the fun thing about the 17 screenings we've done over the last month is we're starting to see, okay, that's going to be that scene. I can tell by the way, or that line you can tell. So, and it's, you know, you can make predictions, but almost never right.
But then there's also like a second and third wave. Cause we do like 35 drafts of the script. And, you know, there are a bunch of jokes that I hope that like when people start to watch it over and over again, they'll start to focus on the other ones.
Like the cotton candy joke. Like the cotton candy joke. Which you missed the first couple of times. And then the second time you're like, when he's like, move that giant cotton candy is the funniest thing. It's now what I laugh at the most. Whereas before I didn't even notice it.
So that guy is a guy we went to college with. Jim Edwards is his name. And he was an actor for a while. He did some Skinemax.
No way.
Films, yeah. And but what was really cool is that his house where he lived, I think he lived in Connecticut for a while, there were a bunch of kids that were doing mailbox baseball, and they would just drive by and just, you know, take out everybody's mailboxes, and they always spared his mailbox because he was in the Super Troopers. Yeah.
And didn't you get out of a speeding ticket because of Super Troopers?
I did. I was.
Hey, you guys are changing the world.
Yeah, I was doing 120. It was after midnight.
In a 30 in a school zone.
Yeah.
But the characters in the movie are nothing like you guys. They're not based on you at all.
That's right. I'm howling the whole way. But yeah, no, I just when I was like really cocky thinking there's no cops on this highway. This is my highway. The guy got me and he was super pissed off. He was like, Mister, do you have any idea how fast I Super Troopers? I was like, you got me. And he's like, oh my God, we play all those games you guys play. The Meow Game, the Repeater. Anyway.
Really?
And ultimately he let me off. With just a warning, and we took selfies by the side of the road.
Wow.
It is, there's nothing like observing a cop's voice raise an octave when they recognize you. It's the damnedest thing. Because, you know, they have their authority voice, right. And this is the way they're going to talk to you, and you're going to listen. And then it's like, well, hey, wait a minute. Hey, can we do the thing we do? Oh, we do that all the time. You're like, listen to yourself, man. You just went up an octave.
Because we've also been like, we did a comedy tour in 2009, like a Broken Lizard across the country tour, and we got pulled over one time by a cop. Do you remember? Like, and he came to the driver's side window, and Kevin Farva was sitting up there, and just rolled down the window. And the dude came up, and like, I think he. It's like, you know, when you have a surprise party, and they're like, surprise, and you like back away, and you're like, it's too much. It was an overload. And he came back, and he was like, this is too. I can't handle this. This is amazing.
What is the quote? What is each of your favorite quotes from the first movie?
That people shouted us or just that
I was going to say, what's the quote you hear the most? But then I was like, I kind of want to know what you guys think was the funniest line. There's a scene at the end when you guys are in the woods, when you're like trying to be quiet, where you keep talking and then shushing people.
The loudest guy
that I always point out that everyone's like, I didn't even notice that I thought was the funniest thing. But like what, I don't know if there's like little moments you guys thought were funny, or if you're like, no, my favorite part's the drive through scene or the fast food place or the chugging
syrup. No, mine is one of those totally little things. It's Thorny looking up something on the computer and going, enhance. Like, it just, I find myself just saying it.
It comes to you when you're doing stuff.
I had I'm trying to remember if it's in the movie or if it's me in the excerpt, outtakes, but there's a line after Soder comes back fishing and his dummy gets the head knocked off. Paul, his character Foster, looks at it and says, I will avenge you, Michael.
I think that's in there, no?
I don't know if it's in there or not.
I can't remember. I don't know. There's one, I don't think it made it in, but like, it's the scene, it's a deleted scene between you and O'Hagan.
Right.
When, you're rigging Farva's car in the garage and O'Hagan catches you and like, you're about to steal the Porsche, and you say to him, like, how did you get to be so cool, Cap? And he's like, I guess I must eat a lot of ice cream. And it's like just a warm little moment between you guys. I always love that.
That was the first time I got to act with Brian Cox. I was very nervous about that scene.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
And then they cut it.
And it didn't make it. Scenes. Yeah,
I know. But watching that screening the other night, the one that I really liked, I like that scene in the end, you know, when Farva's like, you know, well, she smells like ass, but I'll sure miss her. I mean, guess you could say that about all my girls.
Under his breath, just a little throwaway line. But when you brought up the shushing thing, it reminded me, we were, you know, we've been asked recently a lot to see if we can remember the origin of the meow scene in the Meow Game. And as we kind of went back through time, remembered that the night that we were in a hotel room and cooked that up, the other big riff that night was, and it didn't go directly into the movie, but I think it is, it turned into that shushing thing, was that we decided to see who could shush each other the loudest, to see if we could get a noise complaint in our hotel room about shushing, like that we, like the kid would call and be like, ah, people are complaining, you guys are shushing each other really loud next door. So we sat around for like an hour just being like, shush as loud as we can. And I realized now that probably is, it turned into that, that like Mac being the loudest guy, but also loudly shushing everybody else.
I can't remember, you know, where I remember feeling that like there is, there are people who do that.
That's me.
Yeah. Like they're
which
loud.
Is probably why I recognized it and thought it was funny. And then I was like, I do that. Or I'm like, guys, we have to be quiet. But it's like me who's yelling and talking all the time.
Yeah.
What's the writing process like? Are you guys sitting together and being like, let's go? Or are you like, let's sit separately, write, and then come back together and see what we think works?
You know, I mean, it's there are a lot of stages. You know, we have an idea that we like. You know, we'll all sit down. We've got our legal pads out. We're just throwing out just basic ideas. They're not all great, but like, we're writing everything down. And then after a few days of that, then we start to, you know, we're kind of figuring out what the story is. We'll outline it. And then each guy will take like 15 to 20 pages and, you know, write that section, and then we'll revise that, and each guy is in charge of revising his own section. That goes for a couple drafts, and then one guy has to take over and become the point man and sort of unify everything, get the character voices all, get the plot runners, have everything be cohesive. And that's the worst job in Broken Lizard, because it's thankless, and also, like, you do come up with new stuff, and you write new jokes in, and then the guys just rip you apart. So it's pretty unpleasant.
Guys, you're gonna like this little joke.
Yeah, and it's like a 35 draft commitment. Like it can be years that you're the, yeah, the point man on a project.
And so who is that?
It switches.
Rotates. Changes on each. Yeah.
I won't ask who's the point man on this one. Well, this just one, in case it sucks, and I don't want you to get yelled
hands
at
a little bit.
Change hands.
Guys got voted out of office.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair to say?
Yeah.
Without naming names?
Without naming names, some guys got, some guys take longer than others.
Mm.
And,
don't I know it.
And they get punked. Drop that mic. Mm. Drop that mic.
Walk.
But Paul, the other thing that was what Paul is talking about, like, the writing also happens when we're not writing. So like, when we're hanging out, having cocktails or whatever, you know, we just start riffing on other things. And then at some point, you know, like the Meow Game very much was that. It was like we were in this hotel room. It's late at night, you know, we're talking about a wizard who could, or clown wizard. It's a clown with magical powers.
So hard to convey. It was a stoned riff.
But he had the ability to turn your tongue into a cat tongue. And then the only thing that, you know, the only difference would be that instead of saying now, you would say meow. And we were just laughing about this. And there was other stuff going on. But at some point we were like, God, that would be a funny game for the Super Troopers to play, like on somebody like who doesn't really know what they're doing, and they're just fucking with this guy. And so like that happens a lot when we're not working.
But then that's what's crazy too, is then you'll see a video online of a soldier in Iraq at a checkpoint playing the Meow Game on somebody. And you're just like, how did we get there? How did we get there from there? Like, how do you end up there?
That's
like
so crazy.
Cornerback. Yeah, the Atlantic Falcons on ESPN.
Yeah, Gio Gonzalez doing it, you know, during on TV interviews. It's just, that's where it feels crazy. Like,
well, those were the good ones, because it's like when Thomas Dekou was doing it, like you could see the anchors kind of like, you know, looking at each other. Is he saying meow? The checkpoint in Iraq, like for the joke to work properly, the people need to speak your language
and understand it pretty well, that they would notice a tiny little change from an M to an M.
Yeah. So their version was like they were just doing it like 50 times to these, like, you
they
know,
they could probably be like
me,
woof. They could just say woof.
Yeah. And the Iraqi people are just looking at them like waiting to get the go ahead.
Americans.
Iraqi's like, is this a bit? What is happening here? Let me through the check.
Yeah.
So what's the bit? What do you think is going to be the quote from this movie? No context, completely out of context. What's the quote that, let's be honest, I'm going to say to my friends 50 times a day after Super Troopers 2?
We have a really fun scene. It's the Danny DeVito scene.
Mm.
Right. The Danny DeVito scene crowds love.
Okay. So just remember that. The Danny DeVito scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, I mean, it's a crowd favorite. I don't know how, if it, we have no idea what people are.
I know. It's got to be hard to like put it out there and just see.
Oh, they wrapped you in the Japanese flag.
Japanese flag, I've seen it a couple times on social media.
It's a big one. That was an improvised line. I think I did that on one take. And just...
Andy listens to NPR, and he does the New York Times crossword. I mean, so humble, too.
And I was really and I'm impressive. From Manhattan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we were saying things that were good. That was the debate.
And I'm from the capital of the world. And I'm from the capital of the world. Born and raised in the capital of the world.
Okay.
What do you guys have over there? You have a little tea party?
Yeah.
Boston tea party?
We were just where, you know, the first place they landed when they came to the country. Yeah. Got it.
Well, everything was so good. Everything was so good between us.
You said it. You did that.
I said I'm from Manhattan, and then you insulted.
Okay, I have two more questions.
I said that whole thing.
You've been enjoying it the entire time.
I have. Thoroughly enjoyed
two last two questions. How has a fan ever tried to give you guys weed?
Never.
I feel like that's got to happen all the time.
I have left more gifted weed in hotel rooms over the last year than I have consumed in the previous 47 years of my life.
Wow.
If that makes sense,
it does.
Weird little equation.
It's
but like you can't go anywhere. Like I now, you know, I have kids. Like I always, I have to frisk myself when I go back home to be like. All right, it's somebody who like snuck a joint in my pocket. It's just, yeah, and it's wonderful. It's
poor
really sweet,
thing.
But just it's
you poor thing. No, it's just always getting all that free weed
consumed. Yeah,
no, it's it's embarrassing and it's shameful. But there are times when people are like be like you got you know, they've got like an ounce or like a 5 ounce bag. Like do you who wants this? And you're like, do you want it? You can have it.
Me?
If you want
no,
it.
I don't
you
want it.
Yeah,
like
no, we
hour.
Can't.
Yeah,
sorry.
And there goes your street cred. Then they're like, they don't even smoke weed. Like, it's
true.
Just I have pockets
well, that's
full.
That's the thing too is that especially when you know, we came from Colorado. We were in Colorado this week and everyone's expectation is like, okay, wherever you guys go, wherever you do, we'll just assume you guys want to get high. And like, we like to be, like we're promoting a movie. So it's kind of important that we be like interesting or at least somewhat charming. And I find it so funny that like people, would it want us to just sit around and be like stupid and like we did Snoop Dogg show got you guys super high and it was the worst interview in the history.
He's like the exception that proves the rule that you can be high all the time and do your
job. Yeah, guys like that, like me and Willie who can be charming and interesting and funny, but like these guys is it online? Can you look it up?
You can see the whole
hysterical.
You can see the whole thing online.
It was worse than you in this one?
It's like I'm walking. Ripping off my mic and I'm walking. It was like 30 minutes and he was just like, you know, he's just passing around these joints and his weed is so good.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
I don't even think I could touch Snoop Dogg weed because you'd be like, this is what it's supposed to be. Not the shit that I've had.
Yeah.
Allegedly one time. It was one time.
And you didn't inhale. Yeah.
No.
When Snoop hands it to you, you can't really turn, you know, you can't turn it down.
No.
Yeah. And it's delicious. Like the wraps are delicious. They like fruity wraps. Like it's just so good. But yeah, he was like,
"Snoop
right,
traps are fruity."
They were smooth and fruity. He was like, "All right, y'all, let's play a game here. With one celebrity, who would you pull over?" And we're just all like stoned mute. And he's like, "Come on, just name someone, just anybody who." And we're like, all just nobody can say anything. We're paranoid.
This just
goes
on and on.
And he's like, "Come on, you guys are the funny guys. Come up with a celebrity who you pull over."
That's new.
Yeah, it's Snoop.
It was close.
You guys are just.
And then finally, he was like, "All right, Justin Bieber, I'll answer for you." We're like, "Yeah, good one, Snoop. Justin Bieber.
Yeah,
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that, but I'm gonna find it.
No, it's well. There's actually a really funny thing that happened with like they had a cue card for Jay, and he was supposed to say Snoop D-O-double-G.
Oh no!
And he was so high he couldn't read it off the cue card, and like. He thought he nailed it a few times and was cocky about it. You have to see it to understand. But basically, it's like 30 minutes of us being really stoned with Snoop Dogg.
Sounds...
In cop uniforms.
Sounds... Oh, really?
We were doing it for the Indiegogo campaign. That was one of our stops.
That makes sense. All right, you guys, you have to go do a million things. But thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Katie.
Super Troopers 2 in theaters on... what's the date that it comes out?
I want to say something with a 4 and a 20.
April 20. 420.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it's just an arbitrary day they picked.
Random.
Yeah, I know. Why did you? Of course it is. April 20th. I just forgot the date.
Yeah.
So 4/20 is the day that it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I remember it.
Yeah, 4/20. April 20th.
Super Troopers 2. go see it. I said that already. I said that three times.
No, but that's...
You can never have too many calls to action.
Let's all go see it together. I'm seeing it on Friday.
That's a CTA, call to action. You're seeing it Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Did you buy tickets in advance?
Bought tickets, have like a group of friends I'm planning to go see it with.
Like get the gang, everybody get the old gang back together.
Everybody I know
was
like, we're all going.
That's a great idea.
Here's the funny thing is that like across the board, we've gotten this from friends and family, Indiegogo backers, everybody who's seen the movie. People are really nervous when they go into it. Like you'll find yourself being really tense. Because I think people are like, they just don't want us to fuck it up and then kind of ruin the first movie for them. But so like, after about 15 minutes, you'll relax and you realize that we made a good movie and then you're going to want to see it again so that you can go back and watch it, you know, with pure heart and pure mind.
You're absolutely right. I can feel that already, that I'm like stressed. But we're all so happy. We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
For
are you proud of me too?
Yes, I am.
Even though we can look past it.
Can look past it.
See, we bring enemies together. That's the beauty
just like
of
the
comedy.
Just like the knuckle game.
By the way, what does this country need most of all right now?
Together. A drink.
Laughter.
A joint. Togetherness. A joint and a drink. All of those things.
A little laughter.
And this movie will bring people together.
It will.
Good. Like I'm excited.
Even if, like, if you from Boston and me from New York can, you know, can forget about our differences... Talking about Super Troopers too, then I mean
anything's possible.
Anything.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's so beautiful.
That is life.
Life is beautiful.
All right, good. Go.
Thank you.
You're free. You guys
Thank
are the
you.
Best.
Great talking to you.
All right. So before we go, we have Dop. We have one more voicemail, right?
Yes, we do.
Is it the one you tried to play at the beginning of the podcast?
I think we all forgot about that by now, Katie.
Okay, I think you should try to play it.
Hey, Katie, Ashley, and Dop. This is Brad, originally from North Carolina, but currently in New York. Love you guys. Y'all are an awesome show. I get all the questionable takes that I need and all of the slightly off of the main path sports takes that I could ever want. Question for you. I'm moving to Germany later this year, and hopefully I'll make friends. But in order to do that, I wanted to know from you guys, what would you recommend as the best American drinking games to teach to, hopefully, my new German friends? Anyways, thanks a bunch, and keep up the good work.
I hope you make friends too, Brad.
Aw.
Maybe this isn't the best way to make friends. I would say the American drinking game you should bring is asshole.
Hmm.
Cause it's the best. And I think that's what they call us over there anyway. So they're like, oh, American! I get it. But since I had the guys who created Beer Fest on the podcast and you asked about bringing a drinking game to Germany, I figured I should ask them. So here's what they said.
Old school beer pong. Actually isn't played very much anymore. They play what we used to call Beirut, throwing ping pong balls into cups. I think, you know, the original beer pong is a great, like, it's active, it's social,
playing
it's fun, there's trash talk, it's, yeah, you're,
cups
you're,
on each corner.
Mm. Yeah. Like that seems to have fallen out of favor, but that's.
Have you ever played Civil War?
No.
It's like beer pong, but on I think it's a bigger table and it's four people, but you each have your own set of cups and it's just, it's two balls at a time. It's mayhem. It's very active and it's good to make friends.
We do, when we promote our movies, we get sent across the country and we do free screenings and we're encouraged to party, afterwards with all the people. And when we did Beer Fest, all it was just those, you know, the Beirut tournaments. I think we lost the first one and then we went undefeated for the rest of the tour.
Damn.
Yeah, we were good.
We had our game on back then.
All right. So Beirut's the consensus answer.
Well, Beirut is the throwing
game. Oh, beer
game.
Pong.
So
like the actual
old beer pong,
yeah.
Sure.
Beer pong classic.
Sure.
Sure.
This guy needs to make friends. He needs your help.
He should pick up a hobby. That's a good way to make friends.
All right.
Join a group.
Do the crossword puzzle in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the German Times.
Follow soccer. Follow the Bundesliga.
Look at you.
See that? I'm also cosmopolitan.
Mm. Right.
Wasn't there
sit in a little... You know, sidewalk conditory in Stuttgart and just do the puzzles and somebody will, you know.
This is the opposite version of it, but didn't Rolf Müller, who's from Germany, say that he plays a game where you grab knuckles across the table?
He and Arnold Schwarzenegger play a game where you lock fingers and it's basically you're wrestling with your finger, just trying to pull the other guy.
You're trying to pull the guy across the table.
Great way to make friends. Great way to break the ice.
Play finger knuckle with Mr.
Why are you
Olympia.
Grabbing my knuckles? Ow! Who is this American? Ow! Why?
So I think that answers your question. And I also think that brings us to the end of the podcast. That's where you're supposed to go.
Aww.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, that's okay, guys. We'll do it again next week. That's it for this week's edition of Sports. Thank you guys for listening. As always, feel free to do it again later. As the great Ben Franklin once said, Sports with Katie Nolan, a podcast that will happen in the future, ages like a fine wine. And who doesn't listen to Ben Franklin? That person's a dummy. Shout out to our sponsors, SeatGeek and Hotel Tonight. A huge thank you to the guys from Super Troopers for making the time to chat. Don't forget to go see Super Troopers 2. It's in theaters on Friday. What's the date on Friday, Dop?
It is Friday, April 20th.
So what if you were to write that in like month/date, what would that be?
4/20.
Interesting. Interesting.
You think it just worked out that way?
Worked out what way? Be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really like it. And if you don't like it, what have you ever knit anything before? I think it feels like time to take up knitting. Like, you could put it off, sure, but you got to be good at it by the time you're old, so you're running out of time. Maybe start practicing knitting. Don't write podcast reviews. If you love it, you got plenty of time till you got to knit, if I'm honest. Just go ahead and write a review. Maybe two. We love your reviews. We see them. They're all very funny. Like this one from R.D. Walsh V. called Hands Down, This Is the Best Podcast I Can Ever Remember. I'll always remember the sound of their studio, the dim of the soft lights, the scent of her hair. As she, nope, I ran out of ideas for the parody and it got weird. This review is over. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That was so good.
I love that so much.
I loved it.
I was actually just going to read it and then I was like, people might not get it, so I should sing it. And now I'm like, I sure wish I just read it. But here we are. And it's over. So thank you. Keep writing reviews. We love it. Also, leave us a voicemail if you have a question. 860-506-5571. Guys, we love you so much. Thank you for listening. Dop, say goodbye.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Ash.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Love you. Mean it. SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. simplisafe.com/Nolan.